Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go again on another Tuesday night. It's the Fat Left Hand that comes to you. Fat Harp. Yes. Yeah, I got a lot of bad habits. That's become the standard way that we open the show these days, and I'm really starting to enjoy it. One of my bad habits may be just doing this show because it just fills up most of my Tuesdays, and I'm getting really, really exhausted on Tuesdays because I'm working real hard. Yeah, I am. And so this is a relief. It allows me to talk about things and hopefully to entertain your phone calls right here at 347-945-6713. We got five lines open here on the Norm at Night show. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about health care, and to be really perfectly honest, I'm tired of it. Let's just pass the thing. Come on, Barack. Let's just get on the ball. You promised it in your campaign. Let's just do it. Nancy Pelosi wants to do it. A lot of senators want to do it. We got the votes, Barack. Why don't we just do it? Elections have consequences. Yes, they do. And this election had the consequence of somebody who was for national health care with a public option. Let me say that again. With a public option was elected president of the United States. The party that won majority in both houses, let me say it again, wanted a public option. I want a public option. I don't even know if I'll take the public option, but I want a public option. I don't know how many more ways I can say it. So I'm not going to say it anymore. It's time to get off the stick. I called Ben Cardin's office. I called Barbara Mikulski's office. I called Steny Hoyer's office. I let them know how I think. I want health care. I want a public option. If they don't do it, I'm not voting for any one of those three people. And no, don't get so excited, Mr. Republican out there. I'm probably not going to vote for you either. There are actually a lot of choices that you can vote for. But I don't see any point for voting for a guy who says he's going to get me health care with a public option, and then he doesn't do it. What do you think? 347-945-6713. That's our number. Let me see. Is anybody... in the chat room. Oh, that's just my Skype. I'm starting to lose track of how to do things here. There's my chat room. Nobody home yet. Norm is aboard in the chat room. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/normatnight, and you can enter into the chat room, and I will transcribe our conversation to the air. I promise you, some of The best lines on the show have come from the chat room, and in fact, I'm waiting for Lonesome Guest to make his appearance. He's been one of the more interesting chat room participants, callers, whatever you like to say. You know, I've had over 2,000 different callers here on the show, and I'm kind of proud of that. So why don't you help me on the way for, and that's 2,000 different callers. There's been more than 2,000 calls to the show, I'm sure, in its many recreations. But a little history of the Norm at Night show. Oh, wow, I've probably done this, but it started a few years ago at St. Albans School in the District of Columbia. And the Norm at Night show still got no callers. Remember, 347-945-6713. I got five lines open. You can give me a call. But as I was saying, the Norm at Night show started at St. Albans School. Actually, it started as a self-streamed internet show. There was no such thing as Blog Talk Radio or anything like it. You streamed it over your own server, and we ran a talk radio show before anybody was doing this and received callers from all over North and, well, the North American continent, actually. Well, Canada and the United States. We didn't get anybody from Mexico. And, well, we had a really interesting, fun time doing Norm at Night. Nobody thought we could do it, but we did it. And when we did it, that created some shock and awe, if you would, among the powers that be. And it was decided that Norm at Night wasn't paying any, or may not have been paying any royalties. And when we started playing the Scottish punk music, that's when the hook got put on the show the first time. Then Norm at Night made another resurrection, and unfortunately, Norm wrote a scathing editorial about Ronald Reagan. And unfortunately, the newspaper that it was published in, actually, I don't think it was unfortunate at all, but the newspaper, actually newsletter, not very wide circulation, was called the South Side Sentinel, and it was published on the day of Ronald Reagan's funeral. And so, of course, the Norm at Night show got the hook again. Actually, and then the third time Norm at Night got the hook, when it was still being done from the close of the National Cathedral, was in the summertime, not really broadcasting to an audience. It was part of a program, and all outgoing communications on the cathedral were shut down, really for a reason I don't even remember. And then again, right in the middle of the show, right in the middle of an interview with some students, the hook. And Norm at Night then went into a little hiatus, and then along came Blog Talk Radio. And wow, we've been on the air ever since, almost every week for the past year and a half, and we're having a great deal of fun. So why don't you give me a call out there? If you're one of the Facebookers or tweeters, give me a call at 347-945-6713, and we'll talk about essentially anything you want to talk about. See what happens if I tweet this. Oh, it wants my username, so I'll give it. It wants my password. I'll try to remember it. And there I have, I think, put a tweet out on Norm at Night. Yes, there we go. There I am. Come listen to Norm at Night. We're on the air. Again, 347-945-6713. I got all five lines open. I don't have a real lot to talk about. Well, actually, I do. Anybody who knows me knows. I always have a lot to talk about, but I would much rather talk about what you want to talk about. I want to do a little counterpunching tonight, if you would. So just call in 347-945-6713, or you could always join me in the chat room. Hey, the cult is on. I see you there, cult, in the chat room. How you doing? We're not having a lot of activity tonight, but I'm still getting ready to go to school, and I got a Norm at Night going here, and I promised myself that I was going to try to talk faster, because when I listen to these, when I listen to the archive broadcast, I always think to myself, Norm, you're talking way too slowly. Joe Scarborough doesn't talk that speed, nor does, essentially anybody else I listen to. So Norm talks really slow. And you know what I'm going to do? I got to take a bathroom break. So while I'm gone, why don't we, and since I'm not getting any calls, I can't find it now. Why don't we just play this?
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone. Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea, I'm sitting in the clear, 'cause no one wants me near. How strange that everyone I spoke thought I was telling them a joke, 'cause all their phone does in the end is clearly drive them round the bend. But I dare not pass my door, for fear that if I do, for sure, some person will show sympathy and try to send a call to me. But why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone. Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea, I'm sitting in the clear, 'cause no one wants me near. Maybe people think I'm somewhere wandering, if to go to Tokyo or rather Harvard. But why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I even try to be more true than usually and pay AT&T. My state was bad and getting worse. I knew I had to fight the curse. My only chance, it struck me clean, was by an answering machine. When later I came home again, from joy I felt completely lame. The little light was blinking bright. A call had come to end my flight. The sweetest voice I ever heard, just said in words so few. Excuse me, sir, this number's wrong. This call is not for you.
All right, everybody, unless you want to keep listening, guys. 407-945-6713. And that's just the end. I got my coffee cooking. I sat through a couple of really interesting things today. First, I went to a lesson on phonics. I don't know how many of you have ever been through a lesson on phonics. Elementary school teachers, primary school teachers are really interesting people. It was a very, very enlightening lesson. And I don't know if it would improve my spelling, but there was an expert talking to some primary school teachers about how to teach sounds, and I just found it very interesting. And actually, while I was there to videotape the whole thing, and I got some really good stuff. It was really interesting. And one of the things that it made me think about was, remember, folks, we talked before we wrote. And that's why this change from the linear visual back to the ear or the audio that this internet is bringing to us is really not such a shocking change. And any of you out there who teach school or administer schools or in any way have anything to do with schools, just remember, as Dr. Miles Davis, a professor at Shenandoah University, told a group of people the other day, meet the students on their own ground. Treat them with respect if you expect to be respected. And it was really an interesting message. And also, according to Dr. Davis, we have to think about exactly what we're teaching all the time when we're in the school business. It's so easy for a school to remain in the 20th century. We're not in the 20th century anymore, folks. We're 10 years into the 21st, and it's changing faster than we know. My coffee pot just started going off, so if nobody's going to give me a call here at 347-945-6713, I'm going to go get my coffee. Let me check the chat room here. Norm from Massachusetts, Senator, where are my minions? You know what? I don't know where my minions are, and I don't know how many people are going to tune in and listen to the archive of this. But right now, the only thing I'm listening to is my coffee pot. So while I'm making my coffee, you all can have a little Irish coffee.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you like that little musical interlude. Again, I don't have... Why isn't this stopping? I thought it was stopped. There we go. I don't have a single caller on the line yet. I got 38 minutes left in the show. I hope we make it. 347-945-6713. It seems the only way I can excite people is to go with a healthcare show, and quite frankly, I'm bored with healthcare. I don't want to hear about healthcare anymore. We got the votes. Let's just get it passed. Let's display some leadership. Give me any of this bipartisan crapo. I want leadership. Take us to the healthcare bill. Or just drop the whole thing. But let's have some action on it. Enough of this going around in circles. You ever go to one of those meetings, you know, where everybody just seems to be talking, to hear themselves talk, and then you realize, my God, I'm doing the same thing. I promised myself I wasn't going to say a word, and you end up blabbering away, and everything goes off topic, and nobody knows anything that's going on. It's just yap, 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 yap. Well, I'm a yapper. Norm is a yapper. I'll be the first to admit that. So why doesn't somebody call in and tell me to stop yapping? 347-945-6713. That's the number. What's going on in the world that you want to talk about? The U.S. Constitution? Well, I'm going to be talking about that very soon. But I'm really, you know, I've got these 60 minutes reserved. I've only used 24 of them. And to be quite honest, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I can't. Yesterday, I'm sitting in a big lecture hall, and I'm thinking to myself, Norm, you've strained your knee or something. It's really starting to hurt. Well, some of you out there listening know I suffer from gout. And my body picked yesterday to have a massive gout attack. Well, sure enough, I stand up, and, you know, when you get a gout attack, it feels like you, like, strain your knee or your joint. It always gathers in a joint, but it just seems to, like, you strained it or sprained it, and it gets, finally, the pain just becomes excruciating. Not like screaming pain, but it just hurts all the time. Hey, I got a caller coming in. Go ahead, Colt. How are you?
Hey, guy. How's it going?
Oh, God, it's going a whole lot better today, and only because finally the medicine kicked in and the gout's gone away.
Oh, I didn't know you had gout.
Oh, God, do I have gout.
I've known people, a couple guys I used to work with had that. But
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, little crystallized urea, thing in your joints and all that.
Right, uric acid crystals. My body, or whoever has it, your body doesn't process uric acid correctly. And it's got to do something with it. So it turns it into crystals and deposits it in your joints. And finally, it gets so bad that, I got a call coming in from, I got a question coming in from the chat line. You're a radio talk show host. You know, you like to talk. You know, you're right. I do like to talk, and I talk a lot.
That would seem to be a prerequisite to being a teacher, too, right?
Well, you know, that's a real interesting question, because another call came in here on through the chat line. Maybe it would be, well, it could be a topic for this show and the next 10. What is good leadership today? What's a good leader do? Any ideas?
Oh, I've taken enough corporate courses. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. We had various theories work. I mean, you know, obviously the benevolent type. I mean, you're a leader, you're a dictator, right? That's what we are when we take.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is a leader a dictator? Whoa,
of course
you
he
know?
Is.
Oh, man. What do you think out there, folks? So are leaders dictators?
Well,
you know,
let's say, you know, all right, let's say you're a platoon leader. You know,
okay.
Do you vote? No, the troops don't vote, do they? And it isn't a whole lot different in the workplace.
Well, the troops don't vote. Well, you know, lots of guys get, what's that thing? What do they call when you shoot the leader in the back?
That
bag. Fragging, that's it. That's it, fragging. Not fragging, fragging.
Yes, I know. So, you know, because then when he's dead, they, oh, must have that fragmentation. Yeah, something hit him. I don't know what. You know,
yeah,
that
maybe
was...
something. Oh, you know, that's really interesting. I wonder if that, who's that football player that got killed in Afghanistan? By friendly fire.
Tilden.
I can't remember his name. But
yeah, it's something like Tilden. Played for Arizona.
Right, right. Well, you know, I wonder how many guys actually do get fragged.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's a.
That was an incredible. Go ahead.
Oh, wait a minute. I got something coming in here. This is really interesting.
Have a vision?
Leadership. Do leaders have to have a vision? Somebody says leadership is you lead when you have.
Tillman is the name, yes.
Yeah. But somebody says leadership. You're a leader when you have a vision. Inspire others to share it and somehow find resources to support and achieve these goals.
Hmm.
A lot of words. What do they mean?
Yeah, well, it sounds like the ideal situation when you have all of that, but for the most part, okay, when I was a supervisor, I had 18 people working for me. Now,
Is that at the newspaper?
Right. And this is when I was working on the local regional papers.
Uh-huh.
We put out like 13 small neighborhood. Well, they were bigger than neighborhoods.
No, I understand what you mean.
But I had two deadlines to meet every week, and it had to get done. And it could get done.
So was that the vision?
What's this?
Was that the vision?
Yeah, well, this was, you know, there were, each edition went, you know, they became inserts that went into the main paper.
Mm-hmm.
So my deadlines were always very, very tight. I had to get all my stuff done so it could be inserted the following day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with that many people, you know, you've got a lot of personalities, you've got a goal, and how I judged my success was just, did I make deadline? Did I beat the deadline? You know, that was it. On a secondary level, then are the people happy, you know, and then that was part of the job.
How did you inspire those 18 or so people to want to get the paper out on time?
There were numerous incentives. For one, I had an allocation for entertainment, right? So, which meant taking people to lunch and whatever. Well, I never took anybody to lunch. I bought pizza for my staff. Mm-hmm. I used the whole budget for that. Why would I take some salesperson out to lunch? Screw them, you know. If we finished on time or earlier, you left early. Now, people were there.
Okay.
They were working 10-hour shifts with a one-hour lunch break, so they were there for 11 hours. Then they had their transportation time. A lot of them didn't see their kids nearly the entire day.
So you provided the people with resources.
There were incentives, yeah, absolutely.
And resources, you know, and the stuff to get the job done.
Exactly. So,
okay.
But on the other hand, there were times when I had to push, you know, when we were really on edge where we were not going to make it. And it's very expensive when you have press crews standing around the press. And it's not running.
Because there's nothing to print.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, at that these guys make tons of money. At least they used to. They were all union people, you know.
I mean, you're talking like the pressmen.
I'm talking way back, too. I mean, we're talking.
Wait a minute. Let me see how old we are. Were there any linotype operators still?
Oh, no. That was gone in the 70s.
70s, yeah. That's right, because there was a big strike with the Washington Post when they put all the linotype operators on the street. And I actually stopped.
That's exactly the same thing that happened in Sacramento. They went on strike, and while they were picketing in the front of the building, their machines were being thrown out in the back docks. They were out there in the rain just rusting away while these guys are out front. I mean, it was just a sick. It was sick.
I'm just thinking about this, and I remember I was most people out there know I'm a teacher. And every once in a while, it should happen way more regularly than it does. The school I'm in now does a pretty good job of it. But still, you know, they come and they observe you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can still remember I get called into, you go over it. And they said, wow, Norman, we think that you have some issues with classroom management. Mm. And my response was, I don't manage a class. I lead it. And I guess that's what I try to do. Have a vision of what the thing is about. You try to inspire the students to share it with you. And you do that by connecting to them through things they're interested in and finding a marriage between things you're interested in, and then providing them with the instruction and tools to try to do the things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they've got to contribute and make it interesting for you, too. You know, that's how that works. In fact,
you know, well, that's a great point, that the students have to keep.
And you know, one thing I found was when I left the supervisor position and was moved into a technician, technical job, there was a huge gap for me there. I mean, like a hole, because I had been involved with 18 people writing their reviews and you know, being involved with their personal lives as well. And all that was gone. So now I had nothing to worry about. I don't know how else to say it.
So, well, yeah, but...
It was a real terrific loss for me, and it took me quite a while to adjust to the fact that all I'm dealing with now is, you know, the couple of PCs that I worked on, and that was it. So there were no more people. You know, that was... Yeah, that was kind of tough, because I had done that job for... let me think. About 12 years. So, anyway.
Hey, well, you know, here's a question. You know, somebody just brought this up from the chat room. We're doing all this yapping about leadership. President Obama, let's look at him inside these three pieces. Number one, does he have a vision? Let's focus on health care. Does he have a vision for health care?
I would say yes, but I would also say it's not a clear vision.
Okay, so
I mean,
he's
relying on other people to put this together. Okay, so you know, I think the follow up here is he leading or talking, and he seems to be talking. I think he's starting to take the lead on it, but you know, he was not involved in the particulars, and he's certainly not involved in the negotiation process at all. And he's also
should
looking
he be?
For, well, probably not. You know, and
okay,
the other thing
that's
is,
a view.
Yeah, I mean that happens at the Senate and House level. More or less, I would think.
Well, you know that, but it all that would also depend on what you think the legislature and the executive are. The idea, in my view, that the founders had, the legislature comes up with these things, and the president simply executes them.
That's a pretty good, you know, definition of the process, but I'm not sure it's that anymore. But you know, he came out with more or less a deadline. Said, "I want this before you go to your summer recess," and it didn't happen. Well,
but he didn't make it happen either.
Right, exactly.
When he said he should have forced the vote.
Right. But he wasn't able to do that. I mean, there wasn't even the support within his own party. So, you know, they did not work on this well, and with that, the opposition took the lead. It seems to be fading. I mean, you know, I think they're starting to counter it better. It's funny, my congressman here, Doris Matsui, we have our seat is like an inherited seat. Her husband Thomas had been the prior congressman,
and he died, and she took over.
He died, and she took it over. And we have no doubt that when she retires, her son will take it over. That's the way it's going to go. But anyway, you know, we have our own, like, Japanese Kennedys out here. So anyway.
Oh God, easy, Japanese Kennedy.
Now, when she was back here for her town hall, she decided she wasn't going to have a live town hall. She'd do it by telephone conference. She said, "Just call right in, tell me what you want. We'll you know, make a note of it."
Well, okay. Well, let's take this whole leadership idea. To the whole Congress. Let's take my friendly Italian woman, Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a vision? Does she inspire others to share it? And does she provide, excuse me, the resources and support to the people she's trying to lead, in this case, the 435 people of the House of Representatives, to achieve those goals?
Well, I don't... She hasn't lost many votes. I mean, you know, when she wants...
She hasn't lost any.
It, you know, I mean, that's what she needs. That's what she's doing.
If that's she what she's done, yes.
Passed, it gets passed. she's doing it. She's doing an excellent job as House Leader, sure. I can't
so
say the same for Harry Reid.
So she's doing, in your view, what the Speaker of the House is supposed to do.
Absolutely.
So she is leading the House of Representatives.
Right. The only one I remember, wasn't it the first attempt, not a stimulus bill, but the first legislation, the bank bailout?
I got another call coming in here.
Remember
hold
on. The first one failed.
Okay, hold
she
on a minute, Colt.
One, but, you know.
Yeah, 703, go ahead. You're on with Norm and the Colt.
Hey, Norm. It's Poplar.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So what do you think about what we're talking about? Is Nancy Pelosi a leader?
Nancy Pelosi, is she a leader? Well, she is a leader, but whether she's a good leader or not, that's up for debate.
Well, does she have a vision?
Yes, she does have
a
vision.
Did you hear our definition of leadership?
No, I just
heard. Okay, well, okay, I'm sorry. You probably called up to talk about something else, so go ahead.
No, but from my understanding...
Okay, here's our definition of leadership. This was, I wish I had come up with it, but I didn't. The chat room's gone wild here. Leadership, it's to have a vision, inspire others to share it, and provide resources and support to achieve goals. Does Nancy Pelosi do that?
At this moment, no. In her San Francisco days, absolutely.
You don't think she has a vision?
She has a vision, but she has not encouraged the heart from others to buy into that vision.
Well, the House of Representatives sure passed the bill. We're talking about health care.
Oh, health care.
She got the House of Representatives to pass the bill. And as another caller pointed out, she hasn't lost many votes.
Yeah. I can only think of one, actually. And
well,
then it got through eventually, you know. It's just she pressed the vote very early, it didn't make it, and then the second time around, then it went through. But that was a bipartisan bill anyway. And in fact, it should have been a Republican-sponsored bill. You know, you had Bush behind it, Bernanke, Paulson, everybody within the Treasury Department and financial community, you know, all saying we don't have this, and it's all over.
Well, you know, here's an interesting to jump into this conversation here. Another caller or speaker, whatever you want to call somebody in the chat room, says, and I think he picked that out of what we're talking about, that managing something and leading it are not synonymous. What do you think of that?
Well, what did I write down? I said management's the most common form of leadership that we're likely to encounter. So, you know, managers, no matter what level, managers, supervisors, whatever, are leadership, you know, leaders in some respect. But they have their limitations.
Okay, well, here comes a real... Does a leader have to manage?
I would think so, yeah. What the...
I don't think Richard Daley, for instance, led Chicago, I mean, managed Chicago very well. He wasn't trying to manage it. He just led it.
Yeah. Well, okay.
He had a vision. He provided materials, and he got other people to do it. Chicago worked in those days.
Yeah. Well, okay, we can take Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King, who are both great leaders. But you wouldn't want them in government. I have no experience with that at all. Other people do that. You know. So, are we talking about leadership on that level, or, like I say, the most frequent and common form of leadership, which is in our day-to-day lives, our supervisors, our managers, our vice presidents, what have you?
I don't know. Would you rather be led or managed? I know I would rather be led.
Well, if I'm going to be led, that means I'm going to do all the work.
Yeah, but I think management really... management
go
really,
ahead, 703.
Management really includes the planning, organization, leading,
exactly.
And controlling, and making sure things are going right. Now, leading is part of management. And in order to get something done, you have to encourage other people to get that done, that certain goal. And some of that comes with making sure the team's organized. That's leading. Leading is just part of management.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
I disagree.
Kennedy can make a speech and say, I want to put out a man on the moon in 10 years, and that's as far as it went.
Example.
A whole lot of other people picked it
Hoover.
Up. Right?
Herbert Hoover, an incredible manager. Franklin Roosevelt.
But what's a good manager? One that gets goals accomplished, right?
I guess.
So isn't that part of leading?
No, leading is having a vision and taking people there, taking them someplace they're not.
Well, isn't that part of the goal? Isn't that the goal? The goal is leading people to a certain, whether it's good or bad, now that's a separate issue, but getting to a place that they're not now.
And a real leader even takes people to a place they don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Still part of management.
Okay.
I'm sure the people that I manage every day today don't really want to do computer stuff. They'd rather go out and play golf.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I don't play golf, but.
Absolutely. Now, who do you think? Do you think human beings are meant to be in front of a computer all day long and write code or do something like that? No.
And then, you know, they come. You come home, and what do? You spend, you know, think of how many people spend all their time on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and then that becomes the social life.
Hey, you're talking about me. Be careful.
I know, because, you know, I find that I spend much more time on Facebook than I really ought to.
Okay.
And
okay. I think 703.
My shoulder starts to ache.
I think 703 may identify with this, if my gut reaction. We were both at a place where there was a guy who was a great leader. He sucked as a manager.
Mm-hmm. He had a great vision. Oh, if he was a good leader, he would accomplish that vision.
I think we were, to be perfectly honest. And he lost his, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, the leader has to have a belief in his vision, too, even when you get poop piled on you. And if you abandon the vision... Well, bad things happen.
Yep.
And bad things did happen. They abandoned the vision. I remember back in the day, I had classes where I had visions for those people that not everybody shared. And you know what I mean.
I'll never forget email.
The fork! I still got the fork in me! You forked me! But I could have abandoned that vision and abandoned those students, but I didn't. And now they're big shots and make 10 times as much money as I do, and I'm happy about it. But that's, to me, that's leadership. You bring people to be better than they are, or they think they are. My grandmother always used to, you're better than you think you are. Don't ever forget that.
Absolutely.
Hey, this has been really great, man. I've only got 8 minutes left. I haven't had to play much music. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey, we still got three lines open, 347-945-6713. Let me see what's going on in the chat room a minute. There we go. Managers are caretakers of structure. Leaders simply build structure. That's an interesting thing. Managers make the vision. Managers make the vision last. Leaders create. That's interesting. You know, I guess you need a Herbert Hoover, you need a Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of what Roosevelt did was simply a continuation of Hoover's ideas.
Oh, let's relax there. I'm not going to let that just go by. That's just poop.
Oh, Herbert Hoover was much maligned. I mean...
Deservedly so!
Oh, I don't think so. Because there were a lot of mistakes made throughout the 1930s, so, you know...
He could have vetoed the Smoot-Hawley tariff. He didn't.
He could have done a lot of things, yes, I know.
And he didn't.
Right.
Franklin Roosevelt... He understood, and you know, actually, that's really interesting because when Roosevelt came to office, I don't think he had any vision. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think he.
He tried to be the opposite of Hoover, blame everything on Hoover. I mean, he was trying to get elected. That was about it. But
you know what I mean? That is a. That's a great lie.
There was a point where when they started to raise interest rates and they got into tariff wars and you know the Republicans actually pushed this and Roosevelt went along with it, which is what prolonged the Depression. So, you know, I don't even know that Roosevelt even understood, you know, his own programs. I don't think he really grasped that. I mean, I'll go so far as to say
Roosevelt stopped a revolution from happening. He is as much a preserver of the Union as Lincoln.
That's what he used to say always, you know, that people think I'm such a great liberal when in fact all I'm trying to do is prevent a revolution. And I think that's almost an exact quote.
Well, it's what he did.
This was a wealthy guy. I can't say, he had an unnatural, an abnormal fear of socialists and unions and all that sort of thing. This country always has. I mean, we've been kind of crazy about that stuff. You say the word socialist and everybody goes crazy, you know, and it's like, have you looked on the other side of the border or have you looked at all of our allies? Guess what? They're all socialists.
And it's not such a bad idea. You know, I'm waiting for... You know, I was listening on the way home today. I was, or actually on the way back to Pat Harpin, I was listening to Michael Steele.
I
don't particularly care for Michael Steele very much.
Is he sitting in for Limbaugh or something?
No, he's the chairman of the... Well, I don't think he's the chairman of the Republican...
Yeah,
he was Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. I think he should change his name to Tom myself, but that's a whole other story.
I was confusing him with a different Michael, but
but anyway,
he's
talking about just all these things connected in my mind. I have a really good friend who's from New Orleans, and it made me, for whatever reason, he was on my mind, and I'm thinking about the picture. I'm thinking about healthcare and the pictures of Castillo's at Howard University. And I'm thinking about healthcare and all the people in those pictures. I can't believe any of them had healthcare. They couldn't even afford, they couldn't even get out of the city. And I'm thinking to myself, that's who we're talking about, those people.
I can remember driving through New Orleans, and I think I missed an exit one time and ended up in, like, the Ninth Ward or in that section. And, I mean,
okay, just hold on one second.
I've never seen anything that bad before. I mean, it was...
Hold on one second. Hey, everybody out there. It's 347-945-6713. We got three lines open. If you want to join the conversation, we're going to probably keep it going for a while after we reach the 10 o'clock. We won't be live, but it will be going to the archive. So if you want to get on, you got about 65 seconds to do it. So dial in. Because I have no idea if he can still dial in after the show's not live. But you can try.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Colt. But I had to get that in.
You know, I mean, you know, we've all seen depressed areas in the inner cities and this and that. But I, nothing like the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. That was just... It just... Dilapidated buildings just falling apart and teeming with people, just incredible. And you know, you see it, and you think, how are they even surviving down here? Let alone when a disaster happens, and there's nothing. There's absolutely no support at all. There was very little at that time. Now I'm talking in the late 1980s. You know. But I don't imagine it improved from then to the time of Katrina. So, you know, we're looking at the healthcare plan is basic. It's going to be very basic for these folks. But they're going to have.
You know,
something.
I mean, okay. Some people could say if I'm going to a town hall, I'm bringing those pictures with me. And I'm talking about, these are the people we're talking about. These people have the right to be taken care of by doctors.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for free,
right. But
we need a public option.
Yeah, I think, now let's say you're, let me think. If you're just on public assistance, welfare, Does that include any kind of health care? Hang on a minute.
I don't. It depends. New York State.
I don't know.
You can get Medicaid. Medicaid is a really interesting program in New York State. The Massachusetts program is really interesting, but they say now it's going to bankrupt Massachusetts, but we'll see what happens. Hey, guest 4477, join in. 4782, join in. Give us some ideas. Let's keep the pot boiling here.
We have, like, at the county level, there's, like, health clinics around the county. So I'm assuming that's anyone who just needs health care and can't pay for it goes there. But we're losing half of them. You know, the tax base is completely gone. There's a, you know, some of these hospitals are losing half their staff, just 50% layoff across the board. So, but I think almost all the municipalities have the same situation right now.
Okay, hey, anybody out there is still listening, well, we're not streaming now, so if you're not in the conversation, but everything is still being recorded, and I just wanted everybody to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the chat room is still operating, and I think a person can still join that, but I'm not positive. But this really perked up tonight, and actually, go ahead.
There's one other thing I was thinking about, as far as, you know, whether it's the public option or even the Republican plan, if we can call it that, all of this is going to benefit people like, you know, the self-employed person, actually mm-hmm. small business, when it's like one person with like two part-timers or, you know, that scenario, or people like myself who retired early. You know, there's a large group of people, professionals and what have you, who are also going to benefit. You know, because right now all we can get, unless we want to pay a fortune, is high deductible insurance, health insurance, which is practically worthless. You know, I mean, it's I don't know. I pay the money, but it doesn't cover any of my expenses at all. It only covers the heart attack, because everything else is good. You know, I have to pay out of pocket. So, so there's almost no point in having it. So, but anyway, that the public option, if it's gonna be there. You know, for, you know, let's say it's there with some income limitations or whatever, you know, that can work quite well. It'll work.
Well, everybody thinks
well.
The public option is free. It's not free.
It's not free. Exactly. I want to be in a pool with all the rest of those people at a reasonable price. That sounds just fine.
You know who I want to be in a pool with? Well, at least it's with the military. Those are the healthiest people in the country.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember. The health care was, well, it was okay, but let's face it, you couldn't call in sick. Do you remember how difficult it was? I mean,
yeah, to go on sick call, it was pretty tough. But it should be.
You had to have an arm hanging off by a thread to get out of PT. I mean, that's how it was.
Well, but that's how it should be.
Well, yeah, in that particular job, of course, you know. So, but yeah, I can remember, I had my wisdom teeth taken out in my last year of the military. And I was all packed with cotton and this and that on Percodent. And I still had to get up at 5:30 and go down there and stand in that damn formation. And then I had to explain that I couldn't run 10 mile, or not 10 mile, 10 Ks that day. And they said, well, you can do limited PT. You have no idea what it's like to do jumping jacks and all that shit. When your head is throbbing. And you're all doped up anyway, you know. I could not get out of it. It was impossible. But that's how, that's how it was, you know.
I am going to call this... I am going to call this a night, guys, because I am suddenly very, very tired. I thank everybody who's called in and came to the chat room. We had a real good conversation about leadership tonight, and I hope we can continue this next week. Remember, if it's Tuesday, it's Norm at Night, to borrow that phrase from my old friend Timmy Russert. Well, I'll see y'all, guys, and Norm is going to bed. Take it easy, okay. 703. Good to hear from you. Call again.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. Sleep well, Norm. Night.
All right. Good night. Oh, how do I cancel? There we go. No, I want to turn the phone off.